this idea of complete forgiveness is must be a kingdom foundation. And so just for a recap for what we're doing here is the main gospel that Jesus came to preach was the kingdom of God's message, that the gospel of atonement is the door into the kingdom, but the kingdom message is how do we live in the wholeness of his salvation while we are here on the earth and continue to expand that territory of the kingdom everywhere we go. And so you can look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Don't turn to it now, but the verse says, "And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." Talking about this idea of a kingdom foundation, this is in the Lord's Prayer where he said, you know, our Father who art in heaven. So he's establishing right off the bat this relationship with the Heavenly Father. He's not looking for just robots. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons. He's looking for daughters who serve him. But the first thing is I'm a son in this kingdom relationship with him. And then it begins to go through now as you're prioritizing inside of your heart, you know, there's going to be things that you need. And so obviously, you know, give us our daily bread, which is not just the food that we're eating here, but it's also the daily word. How's he speaking to us on a moment by moment basis? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But then he gets into the middle of this prayer and says, so, and forgive us our sins. Like there's this interaction with the Lord of saying, we realize that we have sins that we need forgiveness. So there's this ongoing cleansing component that takes place in the course of our life. But then as he says, and forgive us our sins as, and that word as is a big word. I mean, it's a small word. It's only two letters. But in terms of its meaning, he's joined together two things. My forgiveness from the Lord as I forgive those who've sinned against me. There's a connection in it. And so what I believe that is saying is this. If I've truly received the forgiveness of the Lord for all of my sins, the fruit of that is going to be the extension of the fruit of forgiveness to those inside of my life. So just as much as we say when we lay hands on the sick so that they recover, that's the fruit of what God did on the cross. Jesus paid it all. It's as heaven is invading earth, sickness goes because heaven is coming in. It's a fruit of that. In the same way, forgiveness is an extension of the kingdom of heaven into the realm of the earth and the realm of man. And it's imperative for us if we're going to live forgiven by the Lord, if we're going to live saved and whole in our life, it's important that we understand what complete forgiveness looks like, not just what we're receiving, but also those in our course of our life who do us wrong, and how do we release forgiveness at the same level that we have received it. In the Amplified version of that same verse, it says, "And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven," which means in the Amplified, it says, "left, remitted, or let go of the debts and have given up resentment against our debtors." That's a powerful verse. So it's not just, have I let go? And what Jesus is saying, he's not saying there wasn't a debt against you. Like somebody did you wrong and there's a deficit, there's a debt that they owe you in terms of your heart is not whole when they did that thing to you. He says, but you're not only releasing from that debt, but you're releasing resentment from the fact that you have to forgive this person. Well, I guess I'm Jesus's person now, so I have to forget. Well, no, that means I've still got resentment. Like complete forgiveness means I'm letting go of even those feelings on my heart of what that would look like. So Jesus gives us a word that has the ability to disarm all the works of the devil in a breath, and that's called forgiveness. Now, when he tries to steal, kill, and destroy, one of the top ways he's consistently trying to do it is bring division. Let me hear you say division. And we can see that Satan was the worship leader in heaven. He had an exalted position to lead people, lead the angels and all of creation, the people weren't created yet, all of creation into worship of the one true God. But in his heart, there was something, there was covetous, there was jealousy, and he started division from the very beginning. We know a third of the angels fell. He's consistently trying to bring division in relationships. And if we're to walk as kingdom men, we must come to this place where we've received the complete forgiveness of the Lord so much that we do not allow division to take place in any relationship that we have. Now, we're going to unpack that of, okay, what do you mean if this person is totally unrepentant and they're continuing to do their thing? We'll talk about some of that stuff in a second. But I want you to hear this, is we are called to extend a unity through forgiveness in what God has for us. And it's all about our heart. And it disarms the works of the devil in the breath, forgiveness. So as we look at what this says, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is releasing someone completely from a debt owed. Releasing someone completely from a debt owed. And there's four directions of forgiveness which are linked. Forgiveness from God to me, so God forgives me. Forgiveness from me to others, including, I'm going to propose to you, including God. Not that God has ever sinned against you, but Jesus says, blessed is the man who doesn't take offense because of me. Like, so when God does something that we don't understand in our heart, we can actually hold an offense against the Lord. And so it's equally important for us to let go of that offense in our heart against the Lord. So there's direction, God to me to others, me forgiving myself. It's so key and important. I'll talk to a lot of people, and they've done all the outward stuff, but they're still holding on to, but you don't know what I've done, and I just hate the fact that I've done this. And it continues to be a root of unforgiveness inside of them. And then finally, the fourth direction would be from others towards me. So three out of the four are from me to, or actually two out of the three are from me to other people. One is from God to me. The other one is from others towards me. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's the NLT. In another translation, it says, from out of it flows the issues. It's the wellspring of your life. And so as we're going into this thing, it's so important for us to recognize that this verse about guarding your heart is key and pivotal when we're talking about forgiveness. Because there's a reason for forgiveness to be extended, that means there's probably offense that can take place in the middle of it. And so I have to guard my heart that I'm not allowing offense, resentment, any of those fruits of the enemy to creep up inside of me, but only where I'm connected to the heart of the Father. So before we go too far in this, it's important to also understand what God's grace includes. God's grace is not just unmerited favor. It's certainly that. However, it's the empowering agent of God. So when we're talking about forgiveness, you must understand that it was by grace that you're saved. By faith, I received the grace of God, not by works that I'm saved. And so what this means is the Spirit God comes upon me. One second, I'm an enemy against God, and then the grace of God touches me, and now I have the ability to choose to receive his forgiveness or his grace in my life. But when I receive that grace, it now empowers me to be able to extend and receive and become an agent of that grace or that forgiveness around me. Okay, and so when we're talking about this forgiveness, you have to understand that God just didn't command you to do something and then leave you powerless to be able to fulfill what he's calling you to do. Can we all agree that unforgiveness is a sin? Right? Like that's a no-no. That's not a good thing to do, okay? So it would be silly for God to say, you must forgive as I've forgiven you. Otherwise, you're not going to receive anything. If he did not give you grace to empower you to fulfill that commandment. Okay, so you're not left without ability or capacity. I've heard so many times in counseling situations and walking people through different hurts and things like that, and they'll tell me this, I can't forgive them. And I say, well, let's separate the pain and the hurt of where you're at in the moment. We're not saying that there's not real pain and there's not hurt, but you just used the word I can't. Let's interchange that with I won't. I'm using my will to not forgive. That's different than me incapable of doing it. You have the capacity to forgive. And we just need to set that from day one here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet did not sin. And another translation, it says, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and yet did not sin. Verse 16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So worship is so important. Prayer is so important. What do? I come boldly into the throne room of God, and at the throne of God, I receive the grace and the mercy, and I find it there. That gives me the capacity now to go out and release forgiveness and to receive forgiveness. So forgiveness is only possible by accessing the grace of God that he made available through Jesus Christ. And learning to walk in complete forgiveness is a major deal to God. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So again, forgiveness is a big deal. It's part of the whole package that Jesus paid it all, but we have to access it. But also when it says, let all these things, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. It means there's a separation. It should not be a part of your DNA. It should not let it come in. When later on in Philippians where it talks about take every single thought captive into obedience to Christ, it means any of these things. I would say every thought and every feeling that is not in the redemption of Jesus needs to be put away and captured and put away. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I would unpack that in another time. What I think what Jesus is saying here is, if you've really forgiven, if you've really received the grace of God, the natural overflow is going to be that you forgive others. If you're withholding forgiveness to others, it's showing that there's a part of your heart that has not received fully the forgiveness of God, right? Not that God hasn't offered it. It means I haven't fully received it to be able to give away, because I freely receive and I freely give. And so I have to continually position my heart in order to receive the ongoing grace and forgiveness that God has for me. So let's address the perspective of one needing forgiveness from others because we've done them wrong. You may have completely repented, sought forgiveness. However, this does not mean that the ones you hurt are ready for things to be normal. So guard your heart. God's forgiveness and grace will position you to care for their hearts while they are in the process of rebuilding trust and receiving wholeness. So we're going to talk about what forgiveness is not, but I think it's very important when we're going in this thing. And I don't know about you, I did this. There's some things I did early on in my marriage where I sought forgiveness, and I realized I was completely out of bounds and out of line with it. And I received the grace of God. I repented, and I knew in my heart I had made a transition. But it took a little while for my wife's heart to be able to be ready to receive that wholeness. And here's what we're doing. As I'm walking that out, it'd be foolish for me to require others to say, well, hey, God's forgiven me. You should be completely okay with me now. We're not in position to tell their hearts what to do. We're in position to take care of their hearts, to care for, to offer comfort, to continue to position ourselves until they're ready to walk in it. And what I realized is there'd be times where I would go like, man, don't you know that I've completely changed? And what I was really saying is I need you to affirm that I've actually changed. In reality is I know I hadn't changed. And so I stopped putting that requirement upon other people in order for me to be okay with me. And I started just being okay with the fact that I am in him. And here's what happened. The natural fruit of that positioned her to be able to walk in forgiveness. And so we need to look at what those looks like. Now, let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not denial, pretending it's okay. In other words, lying to ourselves and actually believing it. That's what denial is, lying to yourself and actually believing it. But forgiveness is not denial. So I'm not saying that if somebody did you wrong, I put my head in the sand like an ostrich and go, nope, 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 didn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen. That's stupid, okay? Because there's still a hurt there, and until you actually acknowledge it, it can't be dealt with. The second one was it's not repression, burying the hurt caused by sin. And I would tell you, as men, we deal with this one more than ladies do. Ladies are fairly open with their emotions, right? But guys, a lot of times we go through, and part of it's though our design of God, like as warriors, as hunters, you know, the way we are designed for, what do? I'm on mission, and yeah, of course crap happens, so what am I going to do? I'm going to keep pushing through, I'm going to bear it up, I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm just going to get the mission, right? There's a necessity for that, but when we begin to deal with forgiveness, we cannot continue to repress it. It must be brought out. And I'll just say this. The reason that PTSD is such a big deal with our soldiers coming back was that when they're on the field, they have to just put it and keep going and keep going. But what happens is if those things are not dealt with, they come out and they bubble through the surface and you see the outward signs of it. So when we're looking at this thing, as men, we must not repress it. Forgiveness is also not letting the offender off the hook. That's God's job. God decides whether they're forgiven or not. Like, you know, the payment and penalty, was it just or wasn't? That's God's job. So, but forgiveness is not letting them off the hook. I let God take care of his business, and I take myself out of the judgment seat. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. It's saying, well, you know, I just have to never have it on my radar that they ever did something. No, what it means is I never access that. And when I'm rebuilding trust with somebody, I'm until there's this point where they're walking in fullness of fruit, I have to understand that it's okay for me to have good, healthy boundaries for people, right? But I don't just say, well, last week you hurt me, but it's okay today. Until they're in a full place of wholeness, I can't put myself in to be a doormat. It's okay to set boundaries. But and let me give you an example of this real quick. God says, I will remember your sins no more as far as the east is from the west. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God develop amnesia? He's the all-knowing God. He knows all things. I think he's incapable of something happening and him not remembering it. However, here's what it is. When he looks at you, when he says that, he says, I'll remember it no more. Why? Because when we are covered by the blood of his son, guess what he doesn't see? He doesn't see the sin you committed. He only sees you through the lens of his son. And so he says, I'll remember it no more. I'm not going to keep bragging up. You remember when you did this stupid thing? You remember when you did that? No, because what he sees is you. He believes what he accomplished on the cross, that the old has passed, the new has come. You're a brand new creation. He sees you through that lens, okay? But that also doesn't mean that you're going to forget the way somebody hurt you. It means that you get to practice the grace. It means that there's a verse that says, no longer consider each other according to the flesh, but only according to the spirit. That means when I'm looking at people around me, I'm looking at them through the lens of heaven, not from the lens of the earth. And that may mean that they're still not a healthy person yet. However, the way I look at them is at their potential, and therefore I don't carry on offense because I don't keep seeing their crap. Does that make sense? So it allows me to care for the heart and to take care of them while I maintain healthy boundaries. Remember, forgiveness is all about having a healthy heart, a whole heart. And this is a part. I guard my heart above all else. Why? Because out of it's going to flow the issues of my life. So it positions me to administer mercy and grace to people who don't deserve it. But if I don't understand what this looks like, I'll be in trouble. I love this quote from Dr. Harvey Brown in his book about forgiveness. It says, forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. I'm going to read that again. Forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. In other words, I remove the authority of their behavior or their actions to have access to influence my heart anymore. And I position that only in seeking first the kingdom, right? Unforgiveness will hinder your faith. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I want you all to open that with me real quick. Verse 21 says this, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven. Now, what did you just notice? What did he just say? The kingdom of heaven. Okay, so remember, the primary message we preach is the kingdom of heaven, right? And so when you're talking about this, I'm seeking first the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. And he couldn't pay it, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay off the debt. That's talking about indentured servanthood is what it is. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then the master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat, demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Look at the direction what it says, from the heart. So I can mentally up here have the thought about what forgiveness looks like, But until it becomes a belief out of my heart, the forgiveness, then it's only going to remain up here. Guard your hearts above all else. And I want to point out something here when it's talking about the man coming in to be tortured. This is talking about the demonic. It opens up a door for the demons to come in and begin to torment you. Because that's what it does. That's what sin does. It separates me from God. It removes me from his cover and from his grace. And so I can be a born-again believer, but I can walk in disobedience, and it opens me up to the enemy to come attack. Not because God's sending them to me, because that's not what a good father does, but by my own actions, by my own fruit, disobedience leads to those things. And so we need to look at what the Lord is wanting to do inside of our life. Let me read you out of Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. If you look at the original Greek, it really is talking about have faith of God, like the same type of faith. It says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. When you're praying, look at this connection. So many times we use this verse into whether it be health or a financial thing or some other thing we need in the world. Look where he connects it into. He connects it into forgiveness. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. In other words, unforgiveness will hinder your faith and hinder your capacity to actually be a kingdom man. That's Mark chapter 11, 23 through 22 through 25. Mark 11, 22 through 25. So forgiveness is God's gift that does three things to us. It's three things. Number one, it sets you free from Satan's strategy to keep you from loving. Forgiveness sets you free from Satan's strategy to keep you from loving. Remember in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 14, it says, let love be your highest goal. Talking about the spiritual gifts and ministering them. He says, but let love be your highest goal. In chapter 13, it talks about the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. It also says at the end of that, faith, hope, and love will remain. The greatest of these is what? Love. So we are designed to love people and become a demonstration. And forgiveness sets me free from his strategy to keep me from loving people who are unlovable. Number two, it allows me to become all that Jesus created and redeemed me to be. Forgiveness allows you to become all that Jesus created and redeemed you to be. And then finally, it allows you to love in the face of real pain and real evil. Remember Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Can we all agree that he was hurting? Can we all agree that he was experiencing real evil and real pain in that moment? Yet he chose to love them even as they were crucifying him. And this is the same position. And in this forgiveness, what it does is it positions my heart to have the heart of the Father and to have the heart of Jesus in such a way that now, to a great extent, I become unoffendable. Because I'm constantly positioning myself to love people. So guys, hear me on this. In this, when we bring our ego to bear in this regard, where we sacrifice it at the altar of forgiveness and of love, what it does is now is when people are being a jerk, my ego doesn't get raised up and I feel like I got to fire back at them. I'm now in position to love people, right? When my wife or my kids or the people that I work with or whatever it is, this is the whole goal, is I'm positioning my heart to be a kingdom man that loves well and extends that love and is found here in forgiveness. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or a life in abundance. So let me give you the biblical measure of forgiveness. The biblical measure of forgiveness is it's ongoing. Let me hear you say it's ongoing. In Matthew chapter 18, we read, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times 7? Jesus replied, no, 70 times 7. Now, that doesn't mean do a math problem and figure out that exact number. What he's saying is an ongoing number. 7 is the number for completeness, right? It's perfect. On the seventh day, God rested. And what Jesus is saying, no, it's an ongoing process. And often as it comes up, you're continuing to release forgiveness and release forgiveness and release forgiveness. Because guess what? Along the road, people are going to do something to hurt you. That's just the process of, until we get to heaven where we have a perfect body, right? We have the glorified body. We have a glorified soul, mind. There is no sin anymore. Everything's been dealt with completely. At that point, guess what's not needed? Ongoing forgiveness. Because we're living in the fruit and the fulfillment of eternity at that point. But until that moment comes, I have to position my heart to do that. Another measure of forgiveness is this. It's unlimited. Luke chapter 17, 3 and 4 says, Jesus says, I'm warning you, if another believer sins, rebuke him. Then if he repents, forgive him. Even if he wrongs you seven times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, forgive him. Why? Because this is about my heart, not necessarily their heart. I'm setting boundaries. If the guy keeps doing the same thing to me over and over again, I'm going to maybe set a boundary to where, like, all right, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? I might set a boundary. But that doesn't mean I withhold forgiveness. It's unlimited. It's not going to run out. That's why I love that song, the Reckless Love of God. It keeps pursuing me. And finally, as God forgave me, Ephesians 4:32, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ, as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let's see if I have time to do this. We'll skip over that. Let me give you this. Three directions of forgiveness that we talked about earlier. First one on seeking forgiveness from others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, we talked about this, you must go to a brother and offer forgiveness, reconcile to them before you bring your gift. And so when we're looking at these things, I need to make sure that there's nothing hindering even my worship. As I'm extending out this forgiveness, I need to recognize, though, that, sorry, I got myself turned around on here. It's about receiving forgiveness from other people. I need to go and find the people that I know I've done fault to. And I need to make it right. The reason being is, in that process, as it's not because you're not going to get into heaven because they haven't forgiven you. What it's saying is, there's an offense inside of their heart that's causing them harm. And God's going to send you to be able to offer them healing and wholeness that they may not get any other way. And so I come in here to worship and they say, man, I'm just worshiping. I'm good. God, you and me are good. I've repented. I've turned my lifestyle around. And all of a sudden he brings a memory of somebody in your life that you did wrong. He might be telling you that person still got in a hurt against you, an offense against you. It's time to bring that back into reconciliation. And so with a clean heart now, it's not that I'm having to go to beg for mercy. It's going, you know what? Years ago or last week or whatever it is, I recognize I did something that was totally wrong and I think I hurt you. I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? I position myself to become an agent of forgiveness. Not because I haven't received the forgiveness of God, but because I have received the forgiveness of God and it's going to allow me to go and do that. And so it's seeking these opportunities. That means that I don't go, well, you know, they're just going to have to deal with it. No. You're going to go help them deal with it by becoming an agent of forgiveness. Does that make sense? I realize I had a PowerPoint with this thing. Hey, Mike, will you do me a favor real quick? I'm going to throw something up on the... I've got a PowerPoint that I think will be helpful. I want to illustrate this before we go into discussion time. So I'm going to need your help to... Freedom through, there it is. Okay, you got it. And it should be tied with the action. All right, guys, we're gonna go through this really quick. If you could position yourself to see the screen. In mic. Go ahead and kill the lights real quick. I think this will help. So this is kind of give you a good quick illustration of what this thing looks like. The two circles represent the one doing the sinning and the person that was sinned against. And what it does is it produces within us anger towards the one who harmed us. So go ahead and hit that next one, Mike. There you go. So the one who sins against me, in my heart, it causes anger. And now I'm saying there's a debt owed to me. And now underneath all that anger is going to be pain and fear. Go ahead at the next one, Mike. So in that, while anger becomes the outward expression, it really is only a fruit of or sign of what's going on in my heart, which is pain and it's fear. And so when we're talking about fear, it's not just phobias, but those things that would harm what's most important to us. Can we all agree with that? Is that a good definition? Fear is what would harm most important to me, so it causes fear inside of me. Now, the next thing that we're looking for is justice. Let me go hit the next one, Mike. And so what we're looking for is we want justice for the wrong that was committed against us. Our thoughts, feelings, and decisions begin to be greatly influenced by my need for justice. The way I interact with them, the way I treat them, even the way I begin to treat other people in my life, I can begin to project onto other people in my life who didn't even do me harm my need for justice. In fact, I might even look for things in culture or society where I see injustice, and I might be motivated by the do it because I have pain and fear by this person who's caused me harm. There's a debt owed, and I want this justice. But what I really ultimately need is healing. Go ahead at the next one, Mike. So I'm needing to receive healing. Now the next one, go ahead to the next one, Mike. Forgiveness is a two-part process that includes what God has already done and provided for, which is forgiveness and healing. And so there's these steps to go through it. The step one is this. It's a decision that I have to make. Go ahead to the next one. Will we surrender the hurt and the sinner to God? It's an important on this thing. As I'm making this decision, I'm going to take ownership of the event. Now recognize when the event took place, the reason there's pain and there's fear and there's a debt owed is I felt like a victim to what they did to me. And therefore, I think there's a debt that's owed and I'm a victim. And I can't take ownership if I feel like a victim. In this process, I realize I'm no longer a victim. I'm going to take ownership of it. And now I have a decision to make. Do I surrender the person who did me wrong to God? And do I surrender the hurt that's being caused, the hurt and the fear and the pain inside my heart, and I'm willing to surrender that to God? How do I do it? I take ownership. I choose to live with the consequences of the sin and forgive anyway. And then the next thing is it's hard to surrender to what God you don't own. So that's why it's important for us to take ownership. And so up to this point, we've been the victim. Victims do not have control. Again, this is why we respond in anger, because we're trying to regain control. And until you take ownership of the sin done against you, you can't hand it to Jesus. Deciding to own the event doesn't mean taking blame for the event, but instead acknowledging that something has happened and it cannot be undone. What has happened has happened. Now what? It gives me a place to put it. The next decision is this. My decision does three things. It restores my mind. Let me hear you say, restores my mind. This event no longer has valid reason to take up space or energy within your mind. You take back ownership of your mind. And I'll give you just a quick example. When I was growing up in elementary school and middle school, there was this one particular girl who, and I don't know why it was a girl, but it just what, she was like, I had a target painted on me for her to pick on me. And I'm a big guy, but I'm a teddy bear, you know, real soft and tender. And so she just used to rag on me consistently and constantly, ongoing. It was like, I was like, what did I piss in your Cheerios? Like, what is wrong? But it was so, I mean, like, it was just, she was on me. And it caused me a lot of hurt and pain. It wasn't until years later, even when I was in ministry, I was going through something, and the Lord, every time I would see her on Facebook or I'd hear her name mentioned, inside of me, this hurt, this anger, I'm like, man, why do I have so much vehement anger? And the Lord says, you're still feeling like a victim to her. She's still taking up real estate inside of your mind. And then I went through this thing, and I never even reached out to her or not, but I just remember going, Lord, I release her from this debt. And instantly, I saw her at a reunion, and there was nothing inside of my heart. And she had changed. I mean, she's lived on, has kids and things like that. But the point is this, is for years I'd given up real estate inside of my mind because I felt like a victim. Many of us, that's the case, what's going on. And when we offer forgiveness, it releases that. So it restores your mind back to you. Another thing it does, it gives the sinner back to God. It's God's job to judge and bring about justice, not my own. I'm able to place that person in his capable hands. And then the third thing it does when I make this decision is it makes the second part of the process possible. So let's look at that second part, healing. Go ahead and hit that next one, Mike. There we go. Healing is not about the other person. Jesus also died for the sins committed against me, not just the sins that I committed. I want you to hear that. It's forgiveness. Jesus died not just for the sins I committed, but the sins that were committed against me, making it possible to find wholeness and healing. The sins of the world belong on the cross. So where forgiveness hands the person over to God, healing places me in God's hands. Forgiveness places the sinner in God's hands. Healing places me in God's hands so I can receive something. So on the cross, Jesus paid both forgiveness and healing. Everything that is needed has already been paid for. It's now a matter of releasing toxin and embracing or appropriating his provision for our life. Finally, go ahead and hit the next one, Mike. You would call this the clearing stage. Hit it one more time for me, Mike. When I receive forgiveness, it clears all the debt. You've canceled the debt the person owes you through the blood of Jesus. His mercy brings healing to your pain and your fear, and it wipes it away. And so that's where we're at. Let's go ahead and come back to the tables for discussion. I knew I flew that up fast. So I used to be a full hour teaching on that, but gave you something quick. So there's some questions on here I want you to take with you throughout the week as well. But y'all can discuss these, but here's a few things I want you to write down for you to do this week in your quiet time. I want you to make a list, okay? Number one, go ahead and wherever you can write on the page or turn on the back. Number one is God. Write down and release any pain you feel God has caused you. Because he allowed something or whatever it may be. It's important for you to write those things down. Make that list. Number two, yourself. So what are those things you need to forgive yourself? Number three, list other people out. People you know who've done you wrong, you're still holding on to it. If you've dealt with it and you're going, well, what about that person? I know you forgave them. If it's not causing you pain or fear, don't write it down. This is not an exercise just for the sake of finding an exercise and picking at a wound, right? This is just like just walking it. But if there's legitimately, the Holy Spirit brings something to your heart. And finally, number four, any other thing. And the reason I tell you that, it may be an event going on in the world. It might be a political, it could be other stuff that hasn't directly impacted you, but you realize there's an offense inside of your heart that's taken place because of something that's going on in the world. And God's saying, even that thing is taking up real estate inside your heart and it doesn't deserve to be there. And so seek forgiveness on that. So in your quiet time, list it out, walk through this, Lord, I choose to forgive, even if it's, Lord, I choose to forgive you for this. It caused me this harm, but you paid it all on the cross, and now I completely release of that debt that I feel like you owe me and walk that through. That'll be in your quiet time. The rest of this time right here, go ahead and discuss. You got the questions. We've got about 25, 30 minutes that you can take to do that. And any questions before I jump into that? I know it's a quick question, too. Good? All right, let me pray for you. Father, speak, interpret. Have your way. In Jesus' name.